Oh, and Eric and Jeff. We'll be in London on June. Nigga, shut up.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Wall has done a podcast. It's the real podcast. Do you do interviews?
No.
This was a special occasion. Morning, did it's the real podcast. At 4 a.m., I saw the link posted. I couldn't be happier.
Good morning.
I woke up at 4 a.m. and saw this link.
That's mad. It's the real of them posted at 4 a.m.
Why wouldn't they wait? It's only me listening right now. Those my niggas. But 4 a.m., come on, my niggas. Only me.
Good morning.
When I saw this at 4 a.m., I thought it was fake. Would you like to listen? Nigga, yes. I put the phone in my pocket and just walked around. We're going to get to the bottom of who Maul is.
Good morning.
They're too well informed. They're armed. That's why I rush to listen to their shit. They interview just everybody that be at the crib. Every 25 minutes, they stop to say,
good morning, Joe Budden. Good morning to all our listeners here in the United States. And good morning to our friends over in the United Kingdom.
Have we mentioned that we are going to be doing a live podcast in
London
on September 6th, 2017, just 1 week from today?
With who?
TJ Semtex.
And where?
At the Hoxton Square Bar and Kitchen in Shoreditch,
London,
England.
Go get your tickets right now at itsthereal.com/London. That's itsthereal.com/London. All your tickets, all your information at itsthereal.com/London.
Shout out to all of our friends over at the Joe Budden Podcast, including but not limited to Joe Budden himself, Rory and Maul, who have all been on our podcast, and the anonymous girl who has not yet been on the podcast, but honestly,
we're reaching out. We're trying to get in touch with her.
Any friend of Joe's is a guest of ours, and so you can probably find Anonymous Girl on our podcast soon. Come.
I always fast forward the first 15 minutes of their shit.
Just want to make note that this past week we celebrated our 10-year anniversary of It's the Real. So good job by you.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah. It's an amazing accomplishment, we think, to be around and relevant after 10 years of doing content online. If you're just catching up, itsthereal.com is the place to go.
/London.
Today on the podcast, we have
Dreamville's own JID. Some people call him Jid. Some people call him Jittery. We just call him this week's guest in our podcast. Happy to have him on here. He's an incredible story.
Great guy, too.
Yes. He got kicked out of college. He moves home. His parents were not happy to have him home.
Nope.
And he starts delivering pizzas and sleeping on a couch.
You know what? Being a rapper, especially in the early stages, is not all glitz and glamour. And you hear that today. It's glitz, glamour, and delivering pepperoni pizzas.
Yeah.
Great dude. Great come up, and he's doing it in a real organic way. Shout out to all of our friends over at Dreamville and Interscope. Jeff, when do you want to get into this?
Right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Caveman Diet, a.k.a. Throwing Up the Rock.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Chasing the Bag, a.k.a. American Beauty.
What's up, y'all? It's
J.I.D. And this is the Waste of Time with It's the Real. Bow, 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 bow. What's happening?
What's going on, guys?
Welcome to New York.
This is Tyler.
Last night you were in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
How'd it go?
It was awesome. It was a New York crowd, but at the same time, they showed, like, good responses, so it was tight.
All right, what's the difference between a New York crowd and an Atlanta crowd?
Nothing much. Cities like New York and Atlanta, they're real, like, big cities, fancy type, so they were into it, but they won't show you until the end, so it was real. It was, like, trying. I had to get through it, but at the end, they showed big love.
Were you the first guy to go on, second guy?
Second. I went behind Ari Lennox.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, she killed it, and nice. Then I came out. And then
awesome.
Boss.
Yep.
Anderson Paak.
Oh, my God.
And then
some
the
guy.
Man.
Yeah.
And then some homeless guy came on stage.
We were in Atlanta maybe, what, 2 months ago? We went down to visit Killer Mike, right?
All
right. We were down there for like 36 hours, something like that. And we stayed downtown in a hotel. And then we drove to Mike's house the next day.
All right.
That's all we know about Atlanta. We hadn't been there for like 10 years or something like that, right? Yeah. Since we were kids.
But Mike gave us the whole geography of where like every rapper lives.
Uh-huh. As in like he had like a salt shaker and a pepper shaker and like, you know, a remote and was like, okay, so this is where Tip and I were from. And yeah. like, you know, this is where Gucci's from. This is where Titty's from. And like, yeah. we're like, oh, that actually makes sense now that we could see it and yeah. like know where everyone's generally from.
And you're from East Atlanta.
I'm from East Atlanta.
Which is where...
I don't think Mike told y'all that, though.
No. Well, no.
He
now
definitely doesn't know who
we
I
will
am.
Tell him. You never met Mike?
Never. Not once.
Have you been to his barbershop?
I've been in there before.
Okay.
But I haven't been there. I haven't met him before. I actually used to deliver pieces.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, when I worked at Domino's. So one day I was dropping off a pizza. That's when I stayed on the west side where he's from.
Right.
And I'm from the east side.
Yeah.
I was delivering pizzas so no one would know who I am on the west side.
On purpose.
Never met anybody I knew. Thank God. But I dropped a pizza off at his barbershop one time.
Did you wear sunglasses so nobody would recognize you?
I just wasn't known.
Yeah.
But on my side of town, I'm sure I would have met somebody I knew because Atlanta is like, it's big, but at the same time, you're going to know somebody.
You don't get the impression. You see like the skyline, right? You don't get the impression that it's a huge spread out place, but it is.
Georgia, like Atlanta is surrounded by the like woods, like forests. So Atlanta, the city, is just the city. You know what I'm saying? But outside of you get to Stone Mountain, you get to Gwinnett, you get to all these other places which are like hella trees and just green and Stone Mountain and all. It's just different like terrains all throughout Georgia.
Let's talk about East Atlanta. So that's where you're born and raised.
Born and raised, yeah.
Seven siblings, right?
Youngest of seven. Yeah.
Youngest of seven.
Yeah.
What's that like?
It was kind of different because they were kind of detached. My sister is maybe like 5 years older than me or something like that. So I was by the time I was in high school, it was kind of like I was the only child, but I knew I had all these brothers and sisters and stuff. And some of them came back and lived with us and all that stuff. But it was just a big family. We made it work. We moved around a lot. And one of my brothers was incarcerated.
One of your brothers was an NFL player.
Yeah.
So he was the last guy drafted of the
Mr.
draft
Irrelevant.
Class,
right? Oh, no, yeah, that is what they say. Yeah.
What was it like to wait for him to get drafted?
I wasn't even there. I don't remember where I was, but it went out. It went well. He was in the league for maybe like 3-4 years.
Yo, but like shouts to him.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was tight as hell.
But for you, being the youngest, and certainly by 5 years... Everyone else gets to make the mistakes first. Is that 100%, right?
100%, yes. I used to watch them and kind of just take notes on what not to do. It worked out, too, because I'm lit.
Yeah. Well, did you have any of the same teachers as they had in school?
Yeah. We, I feel like two or three of my brothers and sisters all went to the same high school,
mm-hmm.
and they remember him because our last name is the same. So they used to be like, oh, you're another.
And were you?
Yeah. And we were all athletes and stuff like that. Like, we played sports. My sisters and brothers, everybody ran track, played football and stuff. So they knew us for the sports, but still, like, we used to act up and stuff like that.
When did you start playing football? Did you do Pee Wee League and all
that?
Yeah,
I was, like, I say 5 years old.
Whoa.
Yeah, I thought I was going to be in the NFL before any of this rapping.
Well, all right. Were you, like, the most athletic?
Yes, always. Okay. I've always been the fastest, most athletic type guy.
Wait, let's race right now.
You don't know. That's not what you want. That's not what you want.
Do you race with
I challenge any rapper to a race. Nobody wants it.
I feel like that's like a big thing, like when people go on tour.
Yeah,
like race. It's just like everybody races. It's just like you're bored outside the venue.
Yeah.
And you'll find like
top five of it when it comes to that.
You and Boss is not like, you know,
that's not like a real competition. But you were like, Cole could give you a run for your money.
Oh, he can't get those legs. Them long legs not moving fast enough.
So by the time you get to high school, what position are you playing in football?
I'm playing wide receiver, I'm playing cornerback,
wow,
kick return and stuff like that. Yeah.
Two days?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was the man.
So you were like way into football?
Yeah, I was way into
football. What number were you?
I was way swollen. In high school I started wearing number 2. When I got to college I wore 42, second year I wore 19, and then the next year I wore 6.
But did you have an attachment to any of those numbers?
6. Six was my
because you're from
favorite.
Toronto.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> No, just because, Zone 6 Atlanta.
Yeah.
The real 6.
Yeah.
But Toronto is a great place, and I love it, and Vancouver is amazing. I had the best
God,
sushi in my
so
life.
Political.
No, just had to let you know, Vancouver was the shit. I went there, had some crazy sushi.
Drake, he's cool, like, relax.
Yeah.
Wait, so in high school when you're playing football, like, that's your only focus?
Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to graduate. I'm going to go to college, and then I'm
going to
make
it
to the league.
Yeah, it was a waste of time.
Oh, this is a waste of time.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This is a total waste of time. Because when I noticed, I was like, I was doing good in high school, All-American, woo-woo, normal.
Sorry, that type of stuff.
No big deal. It's whatever. Dislocate. We're all American. Yeah.
Dislocate my fucking hip.
On the field.
Bro, sixth game of the season. Yes, on
six.
The field. Sixth game of the season. We're 6-0.
Oh.
Put it together. I'm like the number probably 5 or 6 corner in the state. Like, yeah. I'm lit. We're playing a great team. It's on TV and everything. Dislocate my hip. Picking up a kick return.
Worst hit?
Shit was like giving birth.
Congratulations.
I wasn't hit. Yeah, 100%. I just landed. I was picking up the ball, and I was bending over to it, and someone jumped on my back, and I was trying to hold him up, and it, like, the hip bone is, like, in a socket.
Yeah.
So it kind of came out that socket.
Can you hear it?
I feel it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
No, it's the worst shit ever. Like, actually, I did hear it, too.
Oh.
Not as you say. It was the worst shit ever, bro.
You're laid out.
I'm laid out, but I'm not sure, like, what's going on. I'm like, fuck it, I'm finna get back up. So I get back up, stand on my feet. The right leg wobbles
from underneath.
Oh, my God, no. I fall back. Everybody in the crowd is like, oh.
Do you have any family in the crowd?
They losing their shit.
I bet.
They're rushing down to the sidelines. Like, all these recruiters there. I was about to go to the University of Georgia. It was a Georgia coach there. I remember his name, Martinez, because he was about to offer me, bro.
You were going
to
be a Bulldog.
I was going to be a fucking Bulldog, and I wouldn't have been rapping probably. I probably would have got deeper into football.
Wow.
Probably started coaching, doing stuff that I would have hated for the rest of my life. But I remember seeing him when it happened in his face, and I was like, shit.
I don't know.
It's over. So I fell on my back.
This is your senior year?
It's the senior year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is my first injury in my life. So take me to the sideline, go to the hospital. All the coaches who's at the game, like, oh, man, you're going to be fine. We love you. Scholarship's still on the line. Never heard from any of them ever again.
That's rotten,
yeah.
By the way.
I'm already small as hell.
Yeah.
I'm just fast, so it's really they want me for my legs.
Right.
So, like, so what can we do without your legs?
Where are you at mentally then?
I thought I was good. I thought I was, like, going to still be good because I was All-American and all this stuff, and I was going to run track and get back, but I ended up going to HBCU.
Right.
Waste of time.
How long is the recovery
supposed to be?
At the time, I'm 17, so it's 6 weeks. So this is sixth game of the season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So my 6 week go by, and we're in the playoffs. The second game of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They lose. So I could have played, like, the following week, but we lose. Damn. I probably shouldn't have played, though, because it probably would have made it worse.
Right.
Yeah.
Fucked it up for college. So I just ended up healing, running track. Faster than I ever been in my life when it healed.
Wolverine.
Yeah.
Fucking ridiculous. But the thing about it, because I was working out, it was the right hip that got dislocated. I was working out so much that my right hip got so big and strong, and the other guy was still like regular to medium.
Right. Yeah. So, you look like before and after. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So I got way faster than I ever been. So I'm like, okay, cool. I do good in track. I have a full scholarship to go to, like, Georgia Southern.
Mm-hmm.
I could have took, like, a half scholarship to Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a full scholarship to the HBCU that I kicked out of that I'm not going to say the name.
Okay. Right. Which is out of state.
Yeah. We're just not going to give them any pub. Yeah. Right?
But out of state.
They're out of state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you want to go out of state?
Yeah. That's what it was. That's why I didn't go to Georgia or Georgia Southern, because I just wanted to get out of state. Like, I'd never been out of Georgia. I was in East Atlanta bouncing up and down the streets. So, boom. I decided to go to this school in Virginia.
And real quick, did you have any musical
inclinations? Like,
what, anything
I
early?
Was always good at talking shit. And then, you know, like, I don't know if you guys do this, but it's like back of the bus or when you're rapping and just whatever with the homies. Like, I used to do that all the time. They used to be like, you're really nice. Like, keep going with this shit. But I never used to pay attention because I was on my football shit. I actually, like, recorded, like, maybe a song or two when I was 15. And they were, like, really good. And I don't know where they are.
All-American. Did you have, like, a name at that point? I mean, like, obviously, because you were just like, this is for the back of the bus.
Not
this
a name, a real thing.
Yeah.
And did you know anyone who was taking rap real seriously back then?
Yes.
Who's that?
Gucci Mane.
Actually, it was Young my homie. Scooter. I'll never forget him. His name is Kyle Petty. Because he said, he's like, if I don't make it before 18, I'm never doing this again.
Damn.
Like, he's some hard shit. That's a lot of fucking pressure, bro. And I always thought that was crazy as hell. I'm like, if you don't make it by 18, you're just going to give it up. You have, like, the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So.
Well, now it's much easier because obviously he never made it.
Yeah. He didn't make it, but he still works in music. He's doing well.
Oh, good for him.
Word to the homie. But,
yeah.
That was pretty funny. So.
So you go up to VA.
Mm-hmm. Your first time away from home.
First time away from home.
Yeah.
First off, this school, it's like 15-1 women to men ratio.
Right. Really? So you made a good choice to begin with.
Great choice. Yeah. Did not know. And then it's like Virginia. So let's go back on some geography and with my geography shit. Mm-hmm. Boom. The slaves were brought to Chesapeake mm-hmm. Bay in Virginia, mm-hmm. where the native settlers, Native Americans, were. Where they already was or whatever. Slaves, post-slavery, natives that are already there, fuck, babies. Offspring, beautiful fucking women. It was amazing, bro. Beautiful women. It's just the people, like, in the city were just amazing.
Right.
Oh, my God. So I'm licking my chops while I'm there. I'm excited as hell. I go to school. I'm on a full scholarship because they still fuck with me. Like, they know. They're like, oh, you're still, like.
For football.
Yeah.
For football.
Yeah.
So I'm on a full scholarship here.
Do but they know about your left side?
They know. They didn't know about my left side. They just knew I was nice. I was good at football, and they were just all. I respect them for that. That was they took a chance on it. But I did well there too. So
mm-hmm.
So went to school up in Virginia. First time leaving the state. First time just out on my own. 15-1. It's a lot of girls here. I don't know a lot of people there. Wasn't a lot of people from Atlanta.
It like, feels like you're saying this up to be like, I made no mistakes.
I made the worst mistakes ever. I fucked up. My last year, I feel like I had 6 hours left of class, and I got kicked out.
Damn.
Yeah. And well, I was football. I was doing all the things. Everything was right. I had like a 3.0, everything.
What classes did you miss?
Like math 106.
Well, fuck that.
And like a physical health or something. Just something light. I would have been graduated, but.
Yeah.
Everything worked out perfect because I would rather be here with you guys.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah.
Than
yeah,
doing
yeah,
any yeah. other bullshit that I could have been doing, bro. Like, I probably would have been trying to do so much trash. I was talking about being a lawyer because I could talk so much.
Well, yeah, what'd you major in?
Entrepreneurship.
Okay.
Which was like.
Which you did become.
I actually knew what I was doing. It worked out perfectly, but it was all like. I like the education. No, let me get this right. I like. Education.
Yeah.
I hate fucking college.
Well,
and the system and all the shit, the loans and all the extra shit. I hate that shit. I'm all for it, but it's just another system, bro.
While you're up there, does music strike you?
Yes.
Okay.
You guys ever heard of Earth Gang?
Yeah, of course we have.
These fucking jerks are the reason I started taking it serious.
Shout out to Earth Gang.
Yeah, where's the guys?
Especially, they worked with our guy, Rex Arrow.
Yes, hell yeah. Shout out to
Rex Arrow. Yeah.
I was there. I met Rex, too. He needs to shoot something for me.
Hey, well, he listens to this podcast, so.
We can make it happen.
Solid, so there we go.
I think you just made it happen. yeah. I can say
Well, he's an entrepreneur, so he knows how to connect the dots. All right, so Earth Gang.
They were already a group. Taking it serious, I was just rapping and stuff. When I first got there, I did like a little mixtape with the in a dorm called the James Hall mixtape. It was funny as hell.
You lived in James Hall.
James Hall, yeah. So we did this mixtape, and everybody around campus is like, "Oh shit, this is nice, but I'm playing football, so I'm like, "Yeah, that's cool," but I'm over here with it. Y'all come to the game on Saturday, which they never did, but it worked out because when Earth Gang heard, they were like, "Oh shit, he's from Atlanta." They already thought we knew each other. We didn't know each other at all. And the first song we did, I wasn't even in the room. I had a verse already laid in there with Engineer, and they came in, and I walked in, and they're already rapping on it. I'm like, who the fuck are these guys rapping my fucking record?
Yeah.
Shit was amazing. Shit sounded great. And ever since then, they like, man, take this shit serious. Take it serious. You'll start. Ooh. Like, let's do this shit. They always told me that shit. Like, fuck this football shit. You're never going to grow.
Damn.
Yeah. It's the truth.
That's some tough love.
It's the truth, though. Like, I was not the right size for it. Bro, if I was 6 feet or 5'11 or something, I'd be in the league right now. I'm sure of it, but.
Well, as a 6'4 individual, I can promise you.
That's not gay.
Well, how tall was your brother who made it to the league?
5'9.
5'9.
He made the cut.
Wow.
You feel me? I'm just a little under him. Yeah, but he made the cut. He had a bigger like structure. My body's like real skinny.
Did your brother go to Indianapolis for the combine?
No, he didn't.
Okay.
He didn't. He worked out from the college. He went to Tulane.
Green Wave. What are they?
Green Wave.
Yeah.
Shouts to Max B.
You get into music. At that point, do you have a rap name?
No.
Okay.
But my nickname, my grandmother always called me Jittery when I was a baby. So I was like, what will I call myself that will feel something like authentic in a sense that wouldn't make me feel like I'm trying to be like a rapper?
Right.
I just think I went way back into my time box. I was a little kid when she used to call me this shit, like little baby. And I just remember that shit.
That's awesome.
So it was J-I-D-D at first. And then I said, how would a fan say J-I-D-D if I wanted to chant it? Let's try it. Y'all ready? Y'all want to try it? This shit is trash. J-I-D-D, that's trash.
Say J-I-D,
J-I-D is better. So I was like, all right, boom.
That's smart.
Like that.
You could have been John Hall.
James Hall. James Hall, yeah.
John Hall's his brother.
Yeah, yeah.
The next door.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you play at any gigs up there?
I feel like I did my first show like the same year I got kicked out, like my last year of school.
Wait, so when you get kicked out, are you still up in VA? Or
yeah,
do you go
home?
Yeah,
because I had to deal with court shit. I couldn't leave the state.
Oh, so it was like some actual shit.
Good felonies.
Damn.
Oh, first thing I thought you were like, good fellas. I was like,
good fella felonies. Yeah. No, it was just a lot of wasting time. I just did a lot of bullshit that, because I could have, you know what I'm saying, not done what I did and finished school. But in turn, that would have took me like steps back, because when I got kicked out, Earth Gang had already finished and they went back to Atlanta and started doing shows. If I would have finished my school year, I would have finished another year of football. That's like a whole nother year out of my life.
Right.
Wasting my time. You know what I'm saying? I went to Atlanta and started doing shows with them immediately right after I kicked out. So it was like, boom. Oh, shit. Earth Gang is tight. Oh, shit. Who is this guy? And it's like we all start coming up through that little meal together.
Today, after you play the Barclays Center, it's easy to look
back.
But it's easy to look back and just be like, oh, yeah, you know, of course. That was a great turning point in my life, and I'm glad that my sort of focus shifted and I committed to this.
But in the moment.
Yeah, what's your mindset in the moment when you're, you know, you're not going to college anymore?
Fucked.
Like, over.
I was fucked. I knew it was over because I didn't have no idea. I wasn't taking music serious.
Yeah.
I was just like, all right, it's something I can do, but I got this football shit online. Like, I got my grades. Like, I'm really thinking in a college guy's mindset. So I deal with all the court stuff. I go back to Atlanta.
How was that drive?
By myself, it was super trash.
Damn.
Well, actually, I didn't get kicked out until I got back to Atlanta. I had to come back into the state and then stay.
Damn.
Because
yeah.
I had to turn myself in type
yeah.
shit.
Right.
But the drive back, I was actually lit. And I had money. I thought I wasn't going to get caught for the said crime. It was amazing, bro. I got back home.
95?
I feel like 95 to 85, right?
What's
Does
that?
It go like that?
Maybe.
Or 95 to 20. No, it's something.
Oh, the I-20?
I took something to 20.
Yeah. I didn't know if you passed all like.
I-20.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real.
I didn't know if you passed by all the like South of the Border signs. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
That's when I took.
We're trying to get sponsored by South of the Border.
Oh, do they still up and running?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Yo, somebody was listening like a couple weeks ago and hit us with some pictures being like, yo, I just passed by. Because we talk about it a lot.
That is crazy.
We used to make that drive down to see our grandparents in Florida. So like, yeah, South of the Border.
And 95 take you all the way to Florida,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, up and down. Yeah.
I feel like I get off on like 20 to get to Georgia.
Sure.
I feel like that's the exit. Maybe it's 85 or 20, but
well, if you're still listening to this, you can always go to southoftheborder.com, use the promo code It's For Real, JID for 20% off your next purchase of a shitty snow globe. Yeah.
So you get home and
I'm good. I got a little money in my pocket. I come see all my friends and stuff.
Was your family like, what are you doing back home?
No, the semester was over.
Oh, okay.
The crime was planned out very well.
Yeah.
But it was just a few ripples in the
right.
So I remember when I did this shit, I was like, bro, we're going to get caught in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I said that shit. Literally happened.
But 2 weeks is long enough for you to escape the country.
I literally got out of the country. Yeah. I got the hell out of there. Because everybody else stayed up there. They had to unpack their fucking apartments and all this shit. I was like, fuck it. Going back.
Yeah.
Not gonna get caught.
So now you're back in Atlanta.
Back in Atlanta, cooling. I'm smoking a blunt. I remember I was having sex when I got the call. Never gonna forget that.
You picked up?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like,
pretty much wrapping it up. Got the call.
Shouts to that 15-1 ratio.
Yeah.
For real. So I get the call and they're like, bro, you hear about like what's going on up here? Somebody stole woo, somebody did. I just gave y'all.
Yeah. Like, you say no. Somebody did all this
stuff. I'm like, no, I don't know what's going on, bro. Whatever. I'll talk to you later. Get a call from mom, blase. Fast forward, they found out about it. The whole family finds out. I go get a neck tat. I say, fuck it, I'm gonna be a rapper. One day after, it was just an epiphany one day, bro. I swear, I woke up one day and I was like, I'm gonna be a rapper.
Wait, hold up.
I went and got my neck tat.
Is that the first tattoo you got?
No, I always had tattoos.
Okay.
I got my first when I was 13.
Uh-huh. But when you get a neck tattoo, that's saying
it's
I don't want a
world.
Regular job.
Right? Exactly. Yeah, and that's exactly what I said. And this is right after me getting kicked out. parents already think I'm crazy for what happened.
So you'll prove it by getting a neck tattoo.
I'll prove it.
Did you have a plan for your neck?
Yeah, I was just...
It wasn't just like, I need something on my neck.
Yeah. It was just life to the fullest. I was just going crazy, bro. I didn't know what to do.
Well, that is a crazy person tattoo, by the way.
Yeah, very much.
I didn't know if you like looked at the wall or something. Like, I don't know. I'll take an eagle.
No, I thought about it. I got some hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil shit. It's a nice tat. I like it, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it was just like, fuck it, I'm going to do it. So I went and got it. My tattoo artist always gave me tattoos for free. Whoa. So I went right over
there.
That's
a terrible business plan. He should take entrepreneurship
classes. Yeah, yeah.
But in turn, I've been getting tats from him since I was 13. And then I'm probably like the poster child for people who hates their tats.
Oh.
No, bro. I have tats on my body that I'm just like.
Like what? The eagle?
No. I can show you like a stupid clown and some covered up gang letters and stuff like that. It's a waste of time. Some of the shit is cool. My first one is like Root Boy. I got this when I was 13.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, listen. Some people want a tattoo everywhere.
Yeah.
You've kept your face clean.
I'm not touching my face.
Okay.
No. Hell, yeah. I would never.
I saw
that.
Cardi B the other day was like,
she's got one?
No, not a face tat.
She was talking
about
it.
But she said she wanted to, and I was
No.
No.
Yeah, a nice
just,
face.
Or, yeah, right, exactly.
Or do it.
Carpe diem. Carpe diem. Can she see your man down in Atlanta?
Yeah. He's way better now. He's lit.
So you get that tat. Your parents already
come back
think,
to the crib.
Yeah.
I come back to the crib, and they like, get the fuck out.
On the spot.
On the spot.
Where are you going to go?
Because of the neck tat?
Yeah.
Where are you going to go?
Because I'm kicked out of school.
Yeah.
I come in here with a neck tat. I'm telling them I'm going to be a rapper.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the strike one, two, and three.
They think he's crazy. They think I'm crazy. So I get kicked out, and I move in a house with one of the members of Earth Gang and his roommate.
Where does he live?
On the west side.
Okay.
This is where the pizza, big please. Piece of career Yo, starts.
Just real quick.
Domino's.
In the space Yo, the of Atlanta, is it a world away? Does it feel like you're not even like close to anything you just left?
Nah.
Okay, you can still run into people.
Yeah, 100%. I still have people who call me my real name. So
yeah.
it brings me back down to earth in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I move. I get kicked out or whatever. I was about to beat the shit out of my dad.
But you're 5'9" and you got, you know, one hip, so you're...
Yeah. No. I'm swole now. This is football, G. This is after college. This is 3 years from that injury. I'm swole. You feel me? I'm, like, ready to take on the world.
Exactly.
Shit, but kicked out. I was ready for my last year of football, so I was literally in the best shape I ever been. Like, I got pictures I can show you guys right now. Super Yo, hockey.
I believe you.
Yeah. So, wait. You're living with one of the guys from Earth Gang.
Uh-huh.
Does that sort of open your eyes to, like, what a real career as a rapper is going to look like, or are they still like just learning?
They still, one of the guys working at a call center, one of the guys working at Chipotle.
No, but that's real though. Like, yeah, people don't understand, like, it isn't night and day, right?
Yeah,
like,
no,
there's a process to this whole thing, and like, if you got to live, of course you're going to get a job. So,
100%.
What's your job at that
I'm
point?
I'm a delivery in the Pontiac.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Same car I have. You guys heard about the
legendary
Pontiac.
Yep.
I'm delivering in that car. I did this job for about 3 months. And I was just helping pay rent with them and stuff, and just living stuff. Earth Gang in turn gets a manager, and the other guy, because it was just one of them living in the house at the time.
Mm-hmm. Was he a good roommate?
Yes. No, hell no. Now that I think about it, I'm not. Yeah, fuck no. Fuck no. I'm not even gonna tell you which one it is, but my guy is holiness is next to cleanliness.
Yeah, he's
going to hell. Yeah. I'm joking. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good roommates because they're good people.
Yeah.
Right. Because they let you stay there.
They took you in.
Because they let me stay there.
Yeah.
And I brought my couch in. I was like, hey, guys, you guys want a couch?
Yeah.
And then they're like, yeah, of course we want a couch. I'm like, I'm coming with it.
I have to ask, was the couch what you took from Virginia?
Hell no. It was from my mom's house because that's really all she gave me. Mm. I took my clothes and stuff, and then she gave me a couch.
She said you can leave and take the couch with you.
Mom didn't kick me out, though.
Oh,
dad kicked
did.
Me out.
Okay.
That's why I almost fought him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We didn't fight, though.
Right.
Because he's a good guy.
I'm sure he was like, what is my son doing? Like,
he was out, yeah.
You know? But, okay.
We had big beef, though. We actually probably just got cool, like, a couple months ago.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
probably
we'll get,
because
yeah,
I'm
we'll get to the. Yeah. So, Okay, so you're staying. You bring your couch. Staying. Are you sleeping on that couch?
Sleeping on it every night. Doing everything on it.
Yeah.
Couch.
Some people take a blow up bed. You take an actual like couch.
Sure, the couch is definitely 5'9".
You got your
so bad. Yeah.
You got your Pontiac. You're delivering pizzas. So it's for Domino's. You said
it's for Domino's.
Do you have to do it under a certain period of time? Like get it there and
yes, you got a time period. And sometimes they give you more than one, like, route to go to. So mm-hmm. you have to go to this house, but you still got to be back in this amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
They just keep you on the clock like that.
Yeah.
Wait, were you working at Domino's before they fixed the recipe?
It's fixed.
I'm fucking with you. You're never going to be able to work for them again.
They actually still owe me a check. I never went and got my last check from Domino's.
Yeah, next time we're in Atlanta.
Well, sponsor Domino's. Go to domino's.com/a waste of time.
Yeah.
Could you get a check?
Yeah. So
that's the promo code.
All right, working at Domino's, did you get sick of pizza?
My roommate was working at Chipotle.
Yeah.
So we used to do the pizza sometimes, Chipotle thing.
Yeah.
So it was a good time period of us, like.
You ate Chipotle and he ate, like, you know.
And then
pizza.
We'd switch it up.
Yeah.
And I was nice. I used to make, like, good ass pizzas and shit. I used to put good toppings on.
You made pizzas too?
Yeah, I made pizzas too. Like, when I went home at night, I'll make me a pizza or something.
That's
like
dope.
That.
Yeah. Topping.
I like margarita pieces.
Okay.
Okay.
So like,
yeah.
So basil and tomato. Basically. Mozzarella.
After your whole pizza career, because that's 3 months, where do you go? What do you do?
Earth Gang's manager at the time, who is now my manager, because I got two managers. We have two managers, both of us. At the time, he had some studio equipment from a basketball player that he used to manage. Fucking hilarious.
<Yeah.
laughs> 7 foot damn near guy. Has studio equipment. He's rapping on this shit. I don't even want to say it. This is fucking Devin Ebanks. Play for the Lakers. Right. My favorite fucking team. Go Lakers. Lake Show.
Whoa.
Yeah. Sorry. What?
You're not a Hawks fan? You don't like suffer along with the rest of Atlanta?
When I was a kid, I was introduced to basketball through Kobe when he got in the league. Mm-hmm. I feel like I was maybe like, when he got in, he was like 18. He was 98. I was like six.
Yeah.
Seven or something like that. So this is the first team that I saw. And I'm like, oh shit, he's amazing. I fell in love with Kobe. So all my life, from six to beyond, it's just like Kobe. Like, I got all his jerseys and everything. He's just been a Kobe fan. So,
Were you also a Brandy fan?
Why would I be a Brandy fan?
They went to prom together.
For real?
Was it on the show?
No,
in real life.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's
oh, you're learning something new every day. Here.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I knew he did a song with Brian McKnight.
Kobe also did a song with Tyra Banks.
Yeah.
Do you know that one?
I knew that too.
Yeah.
That had to be the most horrific union ever. Good people, but
and
the music.
This tells you like what the business was like back then, right?
That's fire.
They had a hype Williams shot video for that too. It's crazy.
I'm looking at something when we leave, bro.
So okay, you're a Lakers fan.
Uh-huh.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, big Lakers fan.
Have you met Kobe?
Never met Kobe. Never met the Mamba.
That's on the
fuck yeah, I would fan the fuck out of Kobe. I would lose my shit.
You have no problem fanning out.
Oh
like,
my god,
yeah.
I'm a fan of great shit. Great people and shit like that. I just love it. Like, I love great shit.
What if the Hawks like ask you to perform at, you know, the arena at Phillips Arena? Oh,
hell,
you're with
yeah.
it.
I'm gonna go crazy. I'm gonna wear a Hawks jersey and all of that.
Oh yeah. Right, yeah. Let's get it, you know, straight here. 7 foot tall dude has all the studio equipment.
Yeah.
West Side?
Yes, West Side. This mm-hmm. is where we bring the equipment to. And then we had this dude named Al Kibalan. Came through and gave us some presets and basically just gave me the easy rundown on how to do this shit. In turn, I just started looking up Google shit, YouTube shit, how to get deeper into like engineering and just doing this shit by myself, because I quit the fucking pizza job and I'm like, I'm finna lock in on this music shit and literally teach myself how to do this shit. So started off and I was writing raps about 30 million guns and all the drugs and just all right. the bullshit that just wasn't true. So it took me about like a year and a half to really come into myself, to like start saying shit that was more truthful to myself. So it worked out, but it was a little process.
Who were the other rappers besides Earth Gang? Like, mm-hmm. who are the other rappers that you're hanging out with at that time? Like, who do you see
in
at that shows?
House, that house that- was special. You guys heard of Black?
Yeah.
Black used to like live there like sporadically, like couple weeks at a time. He would just come, so me and him would like record and just teach each other shit. I learned a lot from him, and we were like the real studio rats in the house, because at this time Earth Gang was like running around like doing tours and stuff and extra shows, but it would be time that they'll leave and it'd just be me and Black at the crib just recording. So it was just a crazy time period. And then Marion Mariba, she's a singer, she used to come through, but It was just me and Black.
Yeah.
Learning shit like
Did
that.
You see Black just cut his hair?
Yeah.
Crazy.
I feel like I was one of the first people to see that shit too.
Oh, really?
I walked in the studio. This was like maybe, it's probably two, maybe a month and a half ago or something like that. I come to the studio just to holler at him, the LVRN studio. And it's his room. So I walk up there and I'm looking for him. I see a guy in there with a short haircut. I'm like, so where's Black? And he turns around. He's like, what? Like, you know, he got a real raspy ass. I'm like, what did you do, sir? Like, you could wait till third album for that.
Did you?
I like it, though.
It's did cool. you ever call him Six Lack?
Nah. Okay. I knew what it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because when we were kids, we used to spell, like, we used to use the six for small B's and shit. Yeah. It was some Atlanta shit, I feel like.
Man. Is that why you had the number six?
No, I just got the player that left before me was amazing. His name was Ricardo Silva, and he was like, "Bro, wear this number. I fuck with you. I'm passing it down to you." And I had two more
and
years.
You said, fine.
Oh, the jersey had magic to it.
It had magic to it because that year I balled the fuck out too. Yeah, I just took the number because of that. But it just all makes sense because I'm from the six and shit like that.
We just wanted to take 1 second to interrupt this podcast with Jid to tell you guys and Joe Budden that we are coming to
London,
September 6th to interview DJ Semtex.
Yes, go get your tickets today at itsthereal.com/London.
Tell your friends, tell your family, tell strangers that you know in
London
that we're coming there September 6th. All your information, all your tickets, itsthereal.com/London.
And now back to our podcast with JID.
What's the first song for you that really is like the one that you look back at and you're like, that's when I figured it out? Like, that's me, that's my sound, that's my style, that's my tone.
I gotta say Never, and that's probably like one of the more recent ones.
Well, okay,
because I consider like I want to be like one of the greats,
right?
So a lot of stuff that I did was like pretty good, but it wasn't like, I feel like Never was like a record that stood, like it's a real piece of work, you know what I'm saying? Like, people can really come back to this at any time and feel that type of way. It just give you a good feeling. So
do you run into a lot of people who are just like, yo, that's cool,
yeah,
but I want like this random cut, like that's
all the time,
right? And for you, who's like, yeah, it's good but not great,
yeah,
you still gotta be like, oh, thank you, and yeah, I'll, like, you know, I'll play it or whatever. But
I take it with grains of salt. I take it like yeah, I take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I do like listen to people's like connections and try to see what the feeling they got off of the song and shit like that, because that's the only reason I make it, like, make music for the feeling that it gives people, like, not really, you know what I'm saying, nothing else.
When did you start performing around Atlanta?
As soon as I got kicked out, so I feel like this was about 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Start bouncing around and doing like hella underground shows, and then it was
like, where? What are some of the spots?
What's the most, like, not grim, but like, where's like a crazy place that we've performed?
Off the top of my head, we were in LA for business, and we came back to a request from a kid who you went to nursery school with.
Yes, and we had to, he was doing like a live talk show at the synagogue that we did go to nursery school.
Right. It was a charity gig.
We hadn't been there in maybe like, I don't know, like
20, who knows, since we were kids.
Yeah.
He was doing a live talk show raising money for the synagogue and asked us to come and like close the show out.
Yeah, but it wasn't just, there was this old like radio man from the 1930s.
Right.
There was like the
local congresswoman. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
And so we get up there.
And congregants too.
Yeah. And
right?
So we get up there and first of all, like, we look out in the audience and it's 80 plus.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Like, it was like they bust everybody in from like,
yeah, the graveyard.
Yeah.
And it was all these 80-year-olds looking at us. And by the way,
the congresswoman fell asleep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But do you remember that mom was like, hey, I have one request. Please do not perform Jews for Jesus piece at the synagogue. And we're like, on our way up there wearing all of our pieces.
Yeah, 30 jeans.
Oh my god. So we get up on stage and we perform to silence.
Yeah, so that was a bummer.
And damn. More recently, we were in Brooklyn at a comedy space.
Right, our friend had an event.
And this was just like a Tuesday night around like 11 o'clock. The schedule got mixed up and
we went on last.
Yeah, well, we weren't supposed to go on last.
And so this room that could hold 20 people.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe 20 people.
At the end, there were like three people and one of them very meekly in the back starts going, play Sugar High.
And we did not have the Sugar High instrumental. So
that's comedy.
That was comedy. That was grim.
Listen, if you're performing in hallways, you got to get a new booking agent.
Same shit, bro. Yeah. Same shit. We used to throw
like it's like a railroad place. Like,
oh,
you know,
my gosh.
Yeah.
It was Smith's Old Bar. The department store is crazy. The basement
store.
Yeah, it's a crazy cokehead place in Atlanta where all the hipsters go and just do every drug they choose, and then it's performance maybe going on.
Oh, so it's not like Macy's.
Hell no. Hell no. It's literally called the department store.
That's actually a really fire name.
It was a great place. I feel like they shut it down. It shut down right now, but it was a place like. Everybody
was it because of the drugs?
Hell yeah. It was going crazy in there. And I feel like some girl got something happened.
Yeah.
Bless her heart. But yeah, it was just a lot of shit going on in there.
So, but I mean, I imagine you learn from each performance, right? Like,
yeah.
And every time you get better and better.
We learn not to play the synagogue.
I learned how to do what I do and kind of like ignore. In Atlanta, I had to ignore the crowd because if you come to like the shows around that time period, it was people that would be on the ticket and all their homies would be there, so they would be only there for their homies and they'll be out.
Yep.
And then it would be left for like however many odd people, and then those people, if you're after their homies, I mean if you're before them, then they're just waiting till their homie get on stage.
Right.
So it was real like it'll fuck with your like your That's ego like, and shit. But at the same time I had to overcome that. I'd be like, I'm making music for you guys. I'm making music from my perspective from Atlanta, but at the end of the day, I'm trying to do something like way bigger than what anybody has done in Atlanta. Like
that's,
every single person.
That's like stand-up comedy, you know, when like they have the bringer crowds, you know, to be able to perform on like a stage in New York, sometimes you have to like bring, you know, 15 people to ensure that you'll be up there. And those people are friends and family, and they're just there for that one person. But you come on and you gotta like still perform to these people who have no idea who you are.
And they probably don't even care.
And they also like a lot of people in those situations, they'll withhold their applause
for
the person
that
they wanna
they wanna make the other person feel better.
So it was like that every damn week. Every week.
So great.
Yeah, it was great every week.
Well,
I still knew what I was doing was special. And then people would like reassure that after shows and shit.
Does that experience inform the music then that you're continuing to make? Or you're like, yo, I should do something where the bass hits harder, or I should have this. Oh, you're just
I I'm so stubborn with the music that I like, and I know the music I like is like, if you get in the car with me, if you hand me an aux, like the shit that I'm gonna play, you're gonna fucking love it. Like, I know you will. It doesn't matter what type of taste you have, because I have like, from my older brothers and sisters, which are a plethora of fucking minds, they are crazy, but they're all geniuses. They listen to every type of music that I could ever imagine, bro. I listened to a whole lot of shit when I grew up.
Like
a whole
what?
A lot of different shit. One of my brothers was hella into like, say like D'Angelo, Neo Soul.
Mm-hmm.
Then one of my brothers is like a Red Hot Chili Peppers fan, random as hell. Then we got like Green Day fan. And then we'll have like my dad playing Earth, Wind & Fire and Sly and the Family Stone. And then my mom listened to some type of folk shit. my mom was really like, no, you need to try to listen to this. Listen to the writing on this song. And then my dad was like, read the Bible every night. Read the whole Bible and bring me the information. So I'm like getting all this literature.
That's a lot of reading.
Bro,
in one night.
I read the whole Bible before I was like, before 10.
Like the St. James Bible.
Yes.
Yeah, like, no,
the
like
new
a
version
children's Bible.
Written by
like,
fucking Shakespeare.
Yeah.
I read the whole shit. Still doesn't know what they're talking about, but word to the Bible. And my dad. But it was just like a lot of literature being thrown at me. And then, fun fact, I'm gonna give you this guy. I'm gonna give you guys this.
Mm-hmm.
My cousin, first cousin, Jonte Austin. Know who that is?
Mm-mm.
He wrote Sweet Lady for Tyrese.
Whoa.
Oh, shit.
We belong together.
Wow. So he's doing okay.
Yeah, he's doing well. He need a shout out to me. I hope he hears this shit.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't even know how to do music.
Really?
He doesn't know it all.
Oh,
and he's
do you
like,
want to tell him?
Yeah.
Jonte, I do music. I'm doing right now. Fucking podcast.
Yo, that's a big deal.
Yeah. Wow. But we never really reached out to him and shit like that. But
That's dope that you made it without that.
Yeah. I didn't even want to use that. I didn't really, you know what I'm saying?
Can I use it?
I know. Please. Please do, bro.
What rappers come to Atlanta that are big, that are established, that you meet and you're just like, I fuck with these people at this point in your life?
It don't matter the time period.
No, I'm saying like when you're still coming up, when you're like performing around,
all right,
who do you cross paths with who you're just like, yo, I respect what they're doing?
I didn't really meet anybody until recently, bro. I feel like it was kind of ignored. I was kind of like ignored. I was doing something way different, bro.
So you're stubborn enough. You're not getting like the cosign from anyone at that point.
Not at that point, no.
Your family must be like, what are you doing? Not young neck tattoo, show, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, they didn't give a fuck about nothing I was doing with music. So my mom was like, yes, keep writing, keep peace around you. That's the only way you can like produce like fruits or whatever. Wait, did you say that?
Did you say peace or pizza?
Peace. Okay. She's saying if I stay peaceful, like mm-hmm. if I keep, you know what I'm saying, serenity around me, mm-hmm. then I'll be good and able to like express whatever I want to say. I'm like, damn, that's so great, mom.
But she, also pizza.
Also pizza, yeah. bro. Margaritas. No. Yo. And pizza's Domino's. You're right. It all comes together.
Yo, but talk about that focus, though, because there's a lot of people who would have given up if yeah. they were you.
The focus was just I had to prove. I was mad at my dad for years for kicking me out, and I probably shouldn't have been because it helped me go out and get that shit, but that's what it was. I was like, you know what? He told me. He said he knew I was going to be a fuck-up. In between our argument of me getting neck tat and getting kicked out of the house, he said, I knew you was going to all this. He gave me this. He said that to me. And I was like, oh, you got me fucked up. Like, you must not know how lit I am. Like, and this is all in my head. I really gave myself a lot of motivation. And then the people around me always like, nigga, you're nice. Just keep doing this shit. And I always had a work ethic by myself because I had that football mindset. My mindset in football is I got to be the best. I got to work. If I practice, I'm going to be the best. So that's why I took that and added some music. Practice, you get better. Practice, you get better. So I started writing, reading, listening to albums of great motherfuckers, jacking flows, stealing flows, don't give a fuck. I was being a pirate with the shit. But yo, it was lit.
Who'd you steal from? Who were some of the flows that you were like?
Everybody. Yeah. Everybody you like. Everybody is lit. Jadakiss, Jay, yeah. Big L, Nas, wow. Outkast, T.I.,
yeah.
Lauryn Hill, D'Angelo, Little Dragon, wow. Arctic Monkeys, like literally great writers, bro. Like people I feel like sit there in Neo,
yeah.
like literally writers, bro. Because I started trying to do every type of music. I was seeing if I could sing, seeing if I could rap. I was trying screamo shit at a time period.
Yeah.
That shit was trash.
Yo, I want to hear your screamo shit so bad.
It was super bad. But I was literally trying whatever I can to like make expression, make music and shit. And that shit came out good. Never was the first song I felt like I was like, boom, you did something special here. Mm-hmm. But before that, I made a song. It was called Le Stud Muffin.
Le Stud Muffin?
Le Stud Muffin.
Like I made a project. French?
Le Stud Muffin. I had a project yeah. called DiCaprio, and every song had a le at the beginning of it.
Amazing.
Amazing. It was like, okay.
But that came out fairly recently.
That came out in 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the songs. It was Le Stud Muffin, Le Hornies, Le Hood Booger. It was
hella. Yo, I want you to put this out again.
Yeah. It's still on SoundCloud right now.
So, all right, we want to hear about how you first crossed paths with J. Cole, but Jeff, you want to tell how we first crossed paths with J. Cole?
So Eric and I went to some listening party. We were invited to a listening party back in like 2009, 2008.
Yeah, we were invited by like Karen Civil, I think.
Popping.
Yeah, yeah, but so 2008, 2009.
By the way, it's a different Karen Civil. I mean, like, she's early always, like,
Karen Civil.
Early Karen.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
early. It's the real. Early J. Cole.
Yeah,
It's J. Cole's listening event.
Caesar cut J. Cole.
Oh yeah.
So we went down to Lower East Side.
And by the way, we're aware of his music at this point, right? Mm. He's bubbling, but we can't say that we've ever met him before.
No.
And
so anyway, we walk down and we're about to walk into the venue. And some guy outside is passing out mixtapes. He says, you know, like, oh, by the way, like, here's the mixtape or whatever.
And he's like, yo, huge fan. Like, I really fuck with what you guys do. And we're like, oh.
So you guys?
Yeah. We're like, yo. Well,
that's fucking fire.
But we say, like, oh, like, we don't need a mixtape. We're going to hear it inside. But thank you. Like, yeah. Nice meeting you.
Thanks.
You're good.
Thanks, fan. Yeah.
And he goes, I'm J. Cole. And we were like, oh.
Well,
yeah, we will take a mixtape.
We'll see you.
Yeah,
we'll
still see you. All of them.
I don't know. I do. Maybe. Yeah. But and then that was his event, and we're like, we're assholes.
That's epic.
No, but Cole's he's always been nice. Always been like,
he's always looked out for us.
Looked out for us, and he's, you know, he's a visionary, you know, from day one. So he comes into your life how?
Did you also sun him in a very regrettable way?
No, it was way more casual than that. And then I was like, oh shit, it's J. Cole. So this is 2014. I've been doing like stuff on the road, Earth Gang a little bit. So they get an opportunity to go on the road with Ab-Soul. Ab-Soul brings Boss on his tour. So we're all on the road and stuff like that. And Cole has already heard of Earth Gang before. We got a show in New York. Cole comes to the show. Earth Gang was bringing me out on one song of their 4-song set. So I come out there, do my part. Real good New York crowd. They fucked with it or whatever. So after the show, we see, we go upstairs and shit. We talking to Boss. Cole comes in. It's like, oh shit, you're not a part of Earth Gang. I fuck with you. What's your name? J.I.D. Cool. He probably just kept that shit in his head. He goes talking to Boss. He goes talking to Earth Gang. They take pictures and shit like that. Like, damn, I just met J. Cole. He really just kind of singled me out. Like, it stood out to him, which is cool as hell. I didn't think much of it at the time, but he was like, yeah, you're not a part of Earth Gang. I'm like, oh shit, okay, cool. On that same tour, I'm hanging with Sed Brown, which is like a close friend of his childhood. Yeah, friend that grew up. Yeah. Shout out Sed. I used to send Sed stuff. Send him music all the time because we used to smoke. We had a relationship. So after the tour, I'm sending him records that I'm making because I'm getting better at this shit. This is around the time I make DiCaprio.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sending him records from DiCaprio. I'm sending him records from even the project that I have out right now, like, because they've been finished or whatever. All the whole time he's playing these records for Cole, not letting me know anything, just playing all of this shit for him. And Cole's like, what the fuck? Like, I love this shit. So they get a crib in North Carolina. And that's where they tell me and Earth Gang to come down there, and we just, it was from there.
Yeah. So yeah.
I'm sorry. Cole was on a 2014 Forest Hill Drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he comes to Atlanta. He comes to our house in the hood. Literally, just pulls up in it. We literally stay in the hood in Southeast Atlanta.
Oh,
we
got another. Okay.
This is after the first house.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And we all in a crib now because at first it was just one of the members of Earth Gang, a roommate, and then me. This next house, both members of Earth Gang, and two more roommates because the house is way bigger. We're doing a little better now.
Yeah. Is the couch still there?
The couch is still there.
Okay.
Yeah, as musty as ever.
Yo, the couch is like your version of 2014. You know, Forest Hills Drive.
100%. Well, yeah, the couch is there. Everybody's there. We all living in the house.
And Cole came through.
And we just playing the more records and chopping it up and just listening to records of his. And we already went to the show before the Forest Hill Drive tour. So everything was cool. We were just chopping it up and just getting a relationship with each other. And it was really all history from there, bro.
So you're saying that he heard DiCaprio and he heard...
He heard some of the song from DiCaprio.
And he said, this guy... is who I want on my label.
Right, I want to assign you.
I want to assign you. Yeah, essentially, yeah, that's how it happened.
Did you think that was, like, around the corner?
No, I just thought it was just a cool relationship. I thought I would have got, like, a verse from him or a couple beats or something and just move on, but
it worked out way better. But he never moved on.
Not in La Cards. So when does that relationship start to become more business-like, you know, for this entrepreneur?
What year is it? It's 2017?
Yeah.
Probably last year.
Well, how do you get from 2014 to 2016 then? What is the part we're missing there?
Is he staying in touch with you? Is he staying in touch with all of you?
Yeah. We all staying in touch. It becomes like a friendship. Mm-hmm. It's like courting, dating, it, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, Barry's calling me. It becomes like my situation, you know what I'm
saying? Are you texting regularly, texting, emailing, sending him new music?
Yeah, Now I'm sending it to him and Sed. Now I'm reaching out to them, just little advice and stuff like that. And then in the meanwhile, he has artists like Omen.
Yep.
He went on tour. Mm-hmm. Omen took me on my first tour by myself, which is like 4 cities though.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a way I got closer to the team without Cole even being there. I was on tour with one of his artists. And then Ebe, you know, we got closer with Ebe and stuff because Ebe just like talkative, cool guy. And I learned hella shit from him. Learned hella shit from Ebe just from hitting him up and talking and shit. So all these things, like us just courting and just being cool and stuff like that, cordial. Like,
be completely honest, was there a thought that maybe you wouldn't sign with them? Were you, or would, that you would stay like totally independent?
I had other opportunities starting to come around, because I start because this is all right. 2015, in between 2014 and 16, I dropped DiCaprio.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That got like well received by blogs and all type of little magazine sources and stuff like that. So I get opportunities to just, I don't know, people are reaching out and stuff, like publishing companies. It was a time I was dealing with Coach K. I almost was with QC.
QC, wow.
Seconds away from being with Migos
and Yachty.
And the, yeah.
You, did you know those guys beforehand?
Never knew them.
Wow.
Never, but I don't know them now.
Yeah.
It was actually through OG Macko, if you guys remember him.
Yeah. Sure, of course, yeah.
We had Hella Records. Hella Records that we put out.
You and Macko?
Yeah. Wow. Like early. Probably around the time he blew up, or right before when I met him and stuff like that. We had a few records that Coach K heard. Me and Coach K had a relationship. We're just cool as hell because he's a good-ass person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we got up and used to go to lunch and shit, and I just had opportunities coming, but Sed was just like, bro, don't move. Don't move too fast. You know what I'm saying? You just got to see this all through. Saw it all through, and yeah, it happened like that. Literally.
You could have been the next Lil Yachty.
Nah. Yachty is great, but nah. It's two different playing fields.
Yeah, so, no, of course.
So what's the phone call like? Like when Cole's like, or Ebe or Joey IE or anybody's let's make it official.
It was more come to North Carolina and come record. Let's come work. It wasn't really like we're about to da-da-da-da sign like at this very moment. Like it was just like come work. And out of me working, it probably came up with about like 25 songs. And
maybe you were there, and there were 25 songs that you were part of. So you remember when Cole signed to Jay-Z, right? Mm-hmm. And he was like, he knew for when Jay asked him to be on Blueprint 3 for A Star Is Born, he knew he had like one shot, and he had to write the verse of his life. Is that what this was like for you? Did you think like, yo, this is an opportunity that I can't mess up?
I was already prepared. I was already, because when I started teaching myself how to record, that's when I started teaching myself the type of artist I wanted to be, or just the type of image I wanted to have. So the type of stuff I was writing, it was always like witty. It was always real quick, because that's just the way I speak and stuff. Like my conversation, we're gonna laugh about something. We're gonna say some funny stuff. It may not all be like what everybody can hear, but it's always gonna be something like that. So my writing style, Eminem, like I used to steal from Eminem's like his wow factor. Like I love that about him, like saying certain things that make you like, what the fuck did he say that for? So I had hella shit like that. I was real good at piecing together them. So my first to come in the house, we had to lay a verse. We had to do it as soon as we get there, write a verse and lay it and shit. I had like four bars from the ride up there that I was thinking of that was cool as hell. And then I heard the beat produced by Cole. And it's actually one of the records that's on my project. The first song that we ever did is called Division.
Yeah.
It's with Earth Gang. Yeah. Produced by Cole. Yeah, that's really how it happened, bro.
Now you're officially part of Dreamville.
Uh-huh.
You're going through Interscope Records.
Yeah.
Does that change your mindset?
Yeah. The Interscope part of it was tight. I thought it was just a Dreamville thing, but Interscope really, like, fucks with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Like, it's crazy. You went over to Funk Flex.
Yeah.
And Joey is right there.
So fire, right?
I'm just epic. Like, yo, like, because, you know, he doesn't do that for everybody.
That means he fucks with me.
That means he fucks with you.
Now, that moment, I was like, if I fuck up a bar, I'm jumping out of this building.
Yeah.
But I was focused on that shit, bro. And then Funk Flex, I've been wanting to do that for years. I'm glad Funk Flex did not show any type of emotion. I liked the way he was just sitting there looking crazy.
So if he was like, like,
I would have been annoyed as fuck. That would have fucked me up more than anything. I'm glad he just stayed there and let me do me, because he I feel like he never saw nothing like me before.
Yeah.
And that's why he was just like,
no, he
like, I wish he would have cried.
He was focused.
He was focused.
Yeah.
He should have cried though.
And Joey was like filming you, right?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So you just dropped this project. You're on tour right now.
Yeah, man.
You're good at home.
Yeah.
Like your parents are like, you're a legitimate career rapper now.
Yeah.
Has your dad gotten a neck tattoo?
He definitely needs one after what the fuck he told me.
Are you still reading the Bible every night?
Fuck.
Shout out to your dad. Maybe he's listening.
I definitely reference back to the Bible sometimes just to get a quick chuckle.
Yeah.
That's not good. I'm sorry.
No, but what opportunities has being on a major label opened up for you?
It just put me on a platform for more people to see and just hear what's been going on, because it was a time like nobody could see or hear anything, and I knew I was doing dropping like cool shit, but it was just like, I can't, how do I get more fucking eyes on this shit? Like, ah, just so frustrating. But it all just opened up when the opportunity came with Dreamville, Interscope, and shit like that.
We're friends with Ebe, and we were talking with him on when Boss came up here.
Yeah.
And we were talking about specifically why Dreamville linked up with Interscope. Mm-hmm. And what we think is really awesome is that Interscope isn't out there just trying to push something commercial so it'll sell and then, you know, they'll get their numbers.
Yeah.
This was something where they're like, let's let artists actually grow.
Be artists.
I think that's, it's unheard of in 2017, and it's so admirable for a major record label to do.
Yeah.
How do you sort of like it over there?
I actually love it, because I feel like I got the freedom to do what I want to do. And I'm already like hard on myself as far as like my work ethic and shit like that. So I feel like they can see that in me when I speak to them and when I play them shit like that. They can tell like how much time I put into it. So I'm going, yeah, it's just, I don't know. I feel like this is what I was meant to do.
And what's cool about Cole, too, is that, like, he is the sort of, he's the poster child of letting an audience embrace an artist.
Yep.
And showing that, like, the internet works, people will buy stuff, and people will go see you.
Yep.
And sell out arenas.
Shh,
arenas.
Bro, arenas are different, bro. I'm learning so much, like, every night. Because every night, it's like a fucking fingerprint. It's different every night. It's always going to be a little issue here, not an issue here. It maybe was an issue in that last night, but it's not tonight. It's just always something different. So I fuck with it. I don't know. I appreciate the opportunity being able to do it for real, for real.
I mean, but how different is it from the department store?
The department is way less cocaine. Way less cocaine. Well, I can be so wrong about that. Because it's thousands, tens of thousands. It's more cocaine.
Oh, my God.
In this arena. All right, so more coke, more life. Yeah. That's what it does, the difference.
Yo, Jid, J-I-D, Jittery, congratulations on your run so far, and congratulations on everything about to happen. Yeah. This is, we're real impressed. Congratulations.
Now spit 1,000 bars.
Next time.
Thanks so much. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this new episode of A Waste of Time with It's The Real. Jeff, if people want to find out more about us, It's The Real. If people want to find out more about our podcast, A Waste of Time with It's The Real. If people want to go get their tickets to our big show in London on September 6th with DJ Semtex, where can they go?
You can always buy tickets to our show at itsthereal.com/London. You can also go to soundcloud.com/awasteoftime to listen to all of our old episodes. You can go to A Waste of Time on iTunes. Search for A Waste of Time with It's The Real. Follow us on Twitter at It's The Real, Facebook at It's The Real, Instagram at It's The Real. We don't really use Snapchat, so I'm not going to plug that. You know, we're just out here. If you want to listen to our music, we are on all streaming services, including Spotify, Apple Music,
Pandora, Google Music, Tidal. Go to Tidal and look for It's The Real.
Apparently they have better artist splits over there, so listen to our music on Tidal.
Do us a favor. Jeff, you know this podcast isn't going anywhere unless we spread the word, and we know it starts with us, so I would like to shout out Lit Harrington at Richie44 on Twitter for shouting us out, for listening at least since the Deezus and Mero episodes. Guys, go check out our back catalog on SoundCloud and iTunes. Jeff, you have a shout out?
Yes, I want to shout out not anybody specifically, but Eric and I have obviously been thinking of everybody in the Southeast Texas area who's been dealing with Hurricane Harvey. And if there's anything that people can do to support, go donate to the Red Cross. We have a lot of friends, family, and fans down there, and you know, just send all good thoughts down to everybody who is currently dealing with that.
Perfectly said. Now for real,
sure.
We'll see you guys next week.